Okay, Kumlan and Abla Gemara, we are up to Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and we had the whole discussion here in caravan, and you're allowed to encircle yourself with the different implements that you have there. Is there a limit to what kind of space you can cover? And we had a number of opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says that these horizontal ropes, he says, is a weak mechitza, but nevertheless, we allow that by a caravan. By caravan, we're very relaxed, and for an individual, it's too sore, but here we allow unlimited. Chachamim say that no, it makes no difference if you're an individual or a caravan, which means three people, makes no difference. You can always have a large area encircled. But according to Yehuda, an individual, even if he's traveling, can only, you know, he's very limited, can't have whatever he wants. And then we had Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that even at home, if it's not a proper mechitza, it needs vertical and horizontal slats or whatever ropes, it is not a proper mechitza. And you're very limited. You're limited to so. And the Chachamim say, whether you're at home, whether you're abroad, you can always have as much as you want. But then we said you shouldn't leave, you're traveling, you shouldn't leave a space of two so that is not being used at all. So we have now the next Gemara here, an interesting discussion here. Itmar, the last line is Itmar, it's about 10 lines from the top of the page. Itmar we learned. So Shloisha constitutes a caravan, and we have all of these leniencies. What happened? He started out for Shabbos 3, Umeis Echon Mehem, and one of them passed away on Shabbos proper. So do we say you can continue carrying in the Eidah because you started out on Shabbos? Or do we say, well, now you only have two, he's no longer a caravan, you can no longer rely on this Eidah, which is so weak and flimsy. Or the other way around, what happened to start off Shtayim, and then Vinatayis Fulain? You start off with two, and then it was added on. Do we make them things easier or not? Says the Gemara. So the question, do we look at the here and now, or do we look at the beginning of Shabbos? It's an argument of Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak. It seems to be there's an argument between Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak. Chadom, one of them says, Shabbos Goyremis. It all has to do with the beginning of Shabbos, the onset of Shabbos. So if you start out Shabbos with three and then you ended up with two, since it's Shabbos that causes it, that's it. The laws that start at the beginning of Shabbos remain the rest of Shabbos. what do you call it? And the Chadom, and the other one says, that the Yoid in Goyremin, that other one says, that it's the Yoidin, it all depends on the amount of dwellers. So if you have three, and one of them died, so no longer you have three, it now became us. So if you use the leniencies that apply only to a caravan, in other words, you did a larger area than two so. And then, reduced, it's no good. And let's say you made a larger area than two so, and you start out with two people, and we said it doesn't work. And then an hour later, a third person came, you can carry. It all depends on the number of people at the time. Setting much this time, let's conclude. Rav Hunu, Dama Shabbos Gremes. Rav Hunu is the one who said that Shabbos is one. It's all has to do with the answer to Shabbos. How do I know that? Dama Rabba said, "Boyim." Rav Hunu, they asked the interesting question of Hunu. Boyim, Rav Yehuda, and they asked Rav Yehuda, "What happens if Edev Derech HaPesa? Let's say you were two courtyards next to each other, and you had a main entrance between the two, and you made an Edev between the two courtyards going through that door, and then suddenly it collapsed on Shabbos, and the doorway is sealed." And now suddenly the door is sealed. Or let's say, or through a window, and then suddenly, what's a din? Let's say there are other ways of getting into the chatzah. Can you still go into the other chatzah or not? Do we say that, you know, it lost the Erev or not? Because all those other openings are less than four tvachim, and therefore none of them were really included as a doorway in your Erev. But Amalin, he told me, Shabbos, Hoyle Hutra Hutra. Since the onset of Shabbos, it was a proper Ediv, it continues being a proper Ediv. So we see clearly from here that Abuna holds, it's the onset of Shabbos that counts. It's the onset of Shabbos. In fact, let's say that Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak, these two Amoraim, but Plukta, the Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda, they're arguing the same argument as two Tanoim. What's the story there? Now we learned, Chotzer, Shenifritz, and Mishtei, if you have a courtyard, the two of the sides were breached. Why, we learned before already that if you have a courtyard and one side has an opening wider than the Tanamas, it ruins the Ediv. And here it talks about two sides. In the Gemara later on, not here, but in a while, we'll discuss why he talks about a case of two sides. But nevertheless, chashiv to mishteiroch zin b'osai v'chein bayis a house. Shenifus to mishteiroch chaysav. We're going to learn that the Gemara talks about that these are smaller breaches than 10 amas, but they're at the corner. And each side lost a little bit, so you put it together, suddenly you have a wide, wide opening. And same thing with the house. Likewise, mavi, you have a street, that on the beginning of Shabbos, everything was all right, and then suddenly the lechi, the post that's supposed to be a reminder, or the mechitza, disappeared. Mutarim la'oisa Shabbos, that Shabbos you continue could carry, because once it's mutter, it is mutter. V'asurin la'oisa lova, but next Shabbos, obviously you cannot rely on that, and you have to start again. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yezi says, im mutarim la'oisa Shabbos, Mutarin lo osid lover. It basically says if you're going to rely on that for this Shabbos, then you have to rely on it all future Shabbosim. Because he says, "Imasun lo osid lover, asun lo osid Shabbos." If you can agree with me, it's also forever. It's also today as well. In other words, we don't look at the beginning of Shabbos. Look at right now. Here and now, you lost your lechi, you lost your keder. That's it. You get no longer carry. So let us say, "Rabhuna da amak Rabbi Yehuda." Let's say "Rabhuna da amak Rabbi Yehuda" is the onset of Shabbos that counts, and Rabbi Yitzchak who said, "Amar keder Rabbi Yosi," and Rabbi Yitzchak follows Rabbi Yosi who says that if you look at the here and now, Mar says, no, two arguments are totally unrelated. Amalak Rabbi Nahum will say to you, another Amar, you say the answer to Shabbos, I feel Rabbi Yosi, even according to Rabbi Yosi, I could work out, who says, if you lost your lechi, it's no longer available. Why? At can look, come Rabbi Yosi, have some of the less null mechitzas, because you're lacking in your mechitzas. Remember, the kaida or the lechi, is your, especially the lechi or the kaida, is your fourth wall. Hacha is null mechitzas. And therefore, the fourth wall is missing. How can you carry in Shabbos? Here you have the mechitzas. Just there's a leniency that we allowed for three, and now you're down to two. But since you were, that leniency was all right at the beginning of Shabbos, we will continue with that leniency because you have four mechitzas, just a bit weak. So we will continue with that. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, you look at it here now. I'm not that much like even Rabbi Yehuda who says that over there, as long as the beginning of Shabbos, you had is good enough. At the Gemara, you know, some of the East of the Yodin, because the people who are living there are still all there. Hocha less of the yodin, here you're lacking. One of the people died, and therefore, it changes the whole thing. No proof; it's totally unrelated one to another. It says Gemara Chomay Mechom Zayim Echem Mishnei Dvarim. It seems that the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Yehuda is the same Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Yehuda. They both say that a caravan or individual who's traveling, it doesn't have a limit, doesn't have a cap. Haynu Tarekama. So you can understand now. Yochid be Yishu. The difference is, what about an individual not traveling like a shayara, but at home? The Tanakama who says that we're not talking about the first Tanakama who says that we're talking about not only limited to a caravan, he's still talking about traveling, but he's talking even an individual, but who's traveling, we have this leniency. But not if you're at home. At home, I don't want you to rely on a mechitza that's flimsy that only has horizontal ropes. Because you can make a proper mechitza, no excuse. But the second Rabbanon here, who argues who you hold, they say, even if you're at home, this is a valid mechitza. And therefore, either you can have a horizontal or you can have a vertical. It makes no difference to us. It's a valid mechitza. So it's not the same thing. Says the Mishnah, Abod, Vorim, there are four things, Potru, B'machla. There are four things that we said that if you're going to war, if you're waging a Melchemes Rashus, not like Yeshua was a Melchemes Mitzah, but a war that is optional, then there are four leniencies that we allow during war. And what are these four leniencies? One is maybe an 80, you're allowed to pick up wood anywhere you want, let's say for firewood, and don't have to worry about stealing, number one. But, number two is a turi mechitzi dying, you don't have to wash your hand for bread because you don't have time. And we'll see what washing we're talking about. And number three is medmai, we say if you buy produce from an Amah Eretz, even though most of them probably gave their tithe, their meiser, but you have to suspect that some of them didn't, so we tell you to be machmir and give it again, but you don't have to do that if you're time of war. The whole thing is a chumra drabon. Anyway, we're going to be relax those laws. We don't relax it. So too, you don't have to make an eid of chatzedis. In other words, if you surrounded all yourselves and you're all living in different tents and there's a doorway between, we relax the rules and you can carry from one place to another place. Because at the time of war, you have other things on mind. Talk about what we learned. You're going to war. You're allowed to take wood, we call it even stealing, but only if it's dry pieces of wood. And we're not worried about gezel. It's not only. If you can allow dry pieces of wood, which the guy set aside for himself, you're allowed to take wet pieces of wood as well. Says the Gemara, they can rest wherever they want, even though it's private land. If a person, Nebuch, passes away, you bury him, even though it might be private land, you bury him right there. And we're talking about a mace mitzvah, the Gemara we'll talk about, to explain soon. Think about it, we're talking about getting allowed to take a dry piece of wood. Hi, Takanti Nishui. This is his. The times of the Braisa. This is the times of Yeshua already. They established certain rules he made. We'll have him go over Kama with the different rules that he made. And amongst them is we learned the Sada Tanaim, Hisna Yeshua. Yeshua divided the land. He made it conditional. And one of the conditions were she Madin Bechoshin, that people are allowed to go ahead and lead their animals to pasture in the forest. And we don't care that, you know, they can take wood away, because people who own forests don't really care if a few pieces of wood are missing. So what is, it's not some novel thing from this Braisa. Umalakten Eitzah said the same, I take wood from the field, says the Gemara, Hossam Behizmi Behigi. Over there, Yeshua was talking about thorns, things that you have really no use for. So therefore, everyone is very, you know, it has no problem whatsoever, and tolerant, you can take whatever you want. But over here, it's in regular wood. You might think that the guy said, hey, I want this wood. You know, Hossam Behabar is still attached. And therefore he said that you have no intention for it. Hocha, but Lushan, he cut it off. So therefore, since you cut it off, it looks like you want it. Nevertheless, during time war, you're allowed to take it. Inami Hossam Belachin, there is talking about that it's all wet and it's moist, so therefore it cannot really be used for firewood. Hocha Beyevashim, which means that it's usable for firewood, still you're allowed to take it. This is the addition that was added to Yeshua. You're allowed to rest, you're allowed to establish whatever you want, even private property. I need to be here to tell that. We have a rule that if somebody's a mace mitzvah, somebody never passes away, has no family or anything else, you bury him right where he is. Mace mitzvah, wherever he passes away, he's koine of that land. The chiddush is afagav, the east lake koine. What's the definition of a mace mitzvah? A mace mitzvah means it has no family, no one there to worry about it. But if a person has, and what the novel thing we're saying now is that even though the person's not a mace mitzvah, but at the time of war, we bury right where they are. It's more about kavodik to bury straight away than to hang around and, you know, till you're ready to take him to another cemetery or something. So we don't want bodies to lie around. The Tanya we learned, Eizah Mace Mitzvah. What's the definition of a Mace Mitzvah? The definition of a Mace Mitzvah is Kosh Ein LeKoyvin, has no one to bury him or to look after him. Koyrei, if you, let's say, call out for help, V'acheidim Oinyin Oisai, and if you call out, let's say, and people would let's say, if the person who's dying would say, hey, I need help, people would come, Eizah Mace Mitzvah, you can no longer say he has no one to help him, he does. A mace mitzvah, says the Gemara, you're telling me that a mace mitzvah is koine, it's mokum. What time you learn a mace mitzvah? If you find a dead corpse, mutl besratya lying in a main street, mifaneu liyamin esratya, move him to the right side of the street, oil smile or the left side. So you just said a minute ago that a mace mitzvah, koine, wherever he dies, he gets buried right there and then. Here it's the middle of a main street, and we say move it to the side, or to the right, or to the left, either the right side of it or the left side of it. No, we don't bury him right away where he is. We turn to the side. What about the boor? What happens if you have a field that is just lying there, or stay near, or a plowed field? Mifanel is the boor. If you're going to clear him already, better put him in the field that hasn't been worked over. So they need a plowed field. If there's a planted field, Mifanelis, they need it. It's less of a loss. Put him in the field that has just been plowed. Hoyesh Deyen Nidus, Deyen Zerush. What if both were plowed, or what if both were planted? Then Deyen Buddha, both of them were lying fallow. Mifanelis, Holyosh, then you can choose whichever one you want. So we see from here that we do move the body a little bit. And a minute ago you said that a mace mitzvah is koin and mekoin way. Wherever it dies, that's it. It's on the boundary. And since it's on the boundary, since you have to move away from the boundary, since you're allowed to move him from the boundary because of the koinim, we want the koinim to be able to walk and make taras, so that we don't want them to hover over the body. So we move him away from the boundaries. So, in other words, what happened? The mace dies right across the road. Not so much about it. He lies, let's say, instead of, you know, in the same direction of the road, he lies perpendicular to the road. So now, if it's impossible to walk on the road without stepping over the mace, And we have a problem because we don't want koyanim to obviously walk over a mace, because then they become tamei. So this mace straddles both boundaries, both sides of the road. Now usually a sratya is a shusarabim, and a shusarabim will be for us to be 16 amas wide. There's no way that a mace can cover 16 amas wide things. Obviously, over here sratya doesn't necessarily mean a shusarabim; it just means a street that people walk, or this is the street that people walk, and it's not very wide at all. It's pretty narrow. You know, what a person is only 3 amas, and a hand stretched out is 4. Nevertheless, we want, and once you can move him, the question is, so where should you move him to? But otherwise, a mace is koinun mekoimai. And the chiddush is that even though that by time of war, even though it's not a mace mitzvah, we bury him right there. And that's considered more bakavadik than burying him in a cemetery and so on. Interesting. Isn't what about to wash your hands? No, by Elisha, the Mayim Rashayim, we're talking about washing hands for bread. We're going to relax the law by washing hands for bread. But the water that we wash at the end of the meal before benching, that you cannot dismiss, because that's done for, not for a mitzvah, that's done for a sakana. It's dangerous. What's a sakana? What's the danger? What do you have to wash your hands? They should melach this salt, the sodomite salt. And we had the more brachas that you should always have a little bit of salt after your meal, number one. And number two, to eat it, and you would take away the hands. And number two, they would also dip their fingers into salt at the end of the meal, I guess, to wash away some of the things. And therefore, they have this very strong salt on their fingers. And we know that from the virus now that your hand constantly touches parts of your body, especially your face, all the time, without even realizing it. And if nation melech daim is yeshem esam misanayim, it could blind you, and therefore we want to make sure you wash it off your hands. Amar Abai says, "Mishtakcha kikurta bekuri." You find a little piece in a kur, 30 saw of salt. You'll find a little bit of melech daim, and still it's enough to damage you. And Tosfos therefore says that today we're not so machmir mayim achronim because we don't have this kind of a salt, or we don't really dip our fingers into salt at the end of the meal. Amar Abai, Kayil milchamai, what happens? You're just measuring salt, let's say, to sell or something else. Do you also have to wash your hands? Forget, you didn't eat, you're just measuring salt. What happens then? Do you also have to wash your hands or not? Amalei says, halabai. If you were constantly holding salt in your hand, of course you have to wash your hands. The chiddush is by a meal, how much salt do you have? Very little, nevertheless, you have to wash your hands. Umidmai, you're exempt from if you're buying, purchasing from an amaret, you're exempt from giving maaser again. Demai, when it comes to poor people, you're allowed to give them demai, and they don't have to give any of the maaser, because it's such a weak, the rabbanon, because the vast majority of the amaratsim do give maaser. So we are very lenient, and we relax the rules quite often. But seksanya, if you have to take care of the army, kodirashi, talking about the Jewish army, and when they come through the towns, everyone in the town, you know, it's like a tax that you have to feed them. Other states, even Goyish army, that you have to feed them. You're not allowed to give them the mai. you're not allowed to give them non-meiser thing, because that's also b'hano. And here you're having benefit by giving it to the soldiers rather than giving something else. But the mai you can. You do not give feed the poor people the mai. We're not going to relax the rules even for poor people. The saksanya, the mai, or the soldiers, the mai. We're not going to relax the rules. You can. And then and the last thing we learn is in Mullah Arev, we relax the rules of Eidav. What are we talking about? Which rules are we relaxing? The rules of an Eidav Chatzedis. You know, they all have a different tents, whatever it is, a makeshift places where they live. They're allowed to carry from one place to another. Even normally, we have a rule, you have to have an Eidav Chatzedis. Here we're lenient, taking the tent into the court, in the common yard. But if they want to walk beyond the tchum, because they still have to organize it and put food at the end of the 2,000 amos, like we can learn later on in Sechta Erevin. Those rules we haven't relaxed. Now, why haven't we? The Tzon Rebchi said, Loikin al Eidav et tchumin v'ataira. Because Rebchi rules that tchumin is actually mahataira. The whole idea of Eruch HaTedus is Shlomo HaMelech invented, and that's what I mean, the Rabbanon, so that people shouldn't get in the habit of carrying from the house into the yard, because then they'll think they're carrying, you're allowed to carry from the yard into the street. So we have to make an Eruch. But Eruch Chum is Mahatayra, according to Rav Chiya, and because it's Mahatayra, we cannot relax that rule. How can you tell me Malkus? Which pasuk are you learning from? It says Al Yetzer by the Mon. Moshe Rabbeinu admonishes the Eden. He says Al Yetzer Ish Mekayim. You're not allowed to leave your place. From there, we also learn you're not allowed to carry. So and carrying, you get malchus, you get misa. And we have a rule that any lav that's written to get killed, you don't get malchus for. So he says, how can you get lav on this lav? It's a lav that was gitten for warning for bezin, which means you're not allowed to carry. And therefore, since you don't get misa for tchumen, nor do you get the malchus. And from Rashi, it seems, I'm telling you Rashi's way of learning, it seems that we learn two things from the Pasuk Eishes Rekame. One is, don't leave your house tchumen, don't go too far. Another one is, al yetzi, don't carry. Maskul Rav Achba Yaakov, that a problem? You think because the lav includes also a punishment, a capital punishment, you don't get lashes for something else? You shouldn't turn to these avis and to the yoyim, different kinds of sorcery. Hachinami deloki, you don't get malchus there. We know that you get malchus for if you go to a oivo yedoni. So Gemara says you missed the point. You understand? Hachikashali, lav shenitin las horas misa bezin. This lav was set aside. They shouldn't walk the tchum. Is also set aside for carrying, which you, for that you get a capital punishment. And we have a rule: cholav shenitin las horas misa bezin. Any lav that you should, were told don't do this, because if you do this, you'll get a capital punishment. Then ain loikin love, you don't get malchus, even if you weren't warned about capital punishment, and you were warned for malchus, you don't get killed, nevertheless you don't get malchus. Because this particular pasuk, you know, you have to have another pasuk for malchus. This particular pasuk is given here for misa, and therefore you cannot get malchus. The pasuk is not talking about carrying on Shabbos at all. It's talking about only tchum, and therefore, according to Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Akiva, tchum Shabbos is mahatayra. And the pasuk al yetsi ish mekayme. Why did he tell them not to get them on? Not because he was talking about not carrying. The pasuk is not dealing with carrying at all. It's talking about walking. So according to Rashi, the pasuk al yetsi mekayme has nothing to do with carrying on Shabbos. You learn out carrying on Shabbos from Parshas Vayakel, where it says that people stop bringing their items to the Mishkan, to Moshe. It says there, Vayechali HaMahavi, they stop bringing. That's what we learn carrying. Tesis learns no, that we learn two things from Al Yetzi, it means carrying, and also in the Pasuk Vayechali, you have two psukim, because you need one for the poor person standing outside and one for the rich man standing inside. Hadna Lachmavi, now up to the next Perek, second Perek of Erevin. Okay. We already talked about the subject there, that we made a special leniency. The people used to go Ola Regla, used to go on the trek to Yerushalayim, and what happened was they didn't have anywhere to stay. There were no hotels, motels on the way. They would stop wherever they are and spend Shabbos there. So they built a number of wells along the way to enable them to drink and to travel safely to Yerushalayim. So what they do on Shabbos, they used to generally, you know, park themselves somewhere near a well over Shabbos. So how? But the problem is the well is always 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide. Shusha Yachid. The main thoroughfare that they're walking is a Shusha Rabim, because it connects cities and can a thoroughfare connects cities. You don't even need 600,000 people. Is a Shusha Rabim. So how in the world were they able to take water from the well? So they made a special takana. A takana that relaxed some of the rules. For example, we had a rule that if you have more gap than wall, it's not a valid mechitza. Here we're going to have 4 posts on the 4 corners. We're going to tell you to make, it's called the Yom Din, which is 2. You have a like an elbow-shaped an elbow-shaped post on each corner, and each side is 1 amma. So you have, really, you have like, you know, walls on all sides, and even though the gap, because remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can have up to a 13 and a third amma. Wide gap. The post itself is only 1 amma, this is 13 third amma, so it's a very wide gap. Nevertheless, we suspend the rule of Paras Merubah La'imit to make it easier for these people. And also because, since you have 4 mechitzas on all sides, makes it easier as well. We had a machlekes of Meir Rabbi Yehuda. According to Meir, the gap can only be up to 10 amas, and because you have 6 animals walking in and out, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, 8 animals, and each animal is 1 2/3 of an amma. Therefore, 13 and the third amma gap. Says the Gemara, Oisin Pasin Liberois. You're allowed to make these posts for your wells. Arba the Yemdim, you make these 4 posts on the 4 corners and has an amma. It's an elbow and has an amma each direction. So therefore, needing Kishmani, look like 8 walls you have there. Because each corner had an amma in 2 directions. So it's like 2 walls. Each corner was 2 walls, and then you had 4 corners, 8 walls. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. The Meir says Shmoina, that he says that you have 8, and needing Kishmani looks like 12. What do you mean 8 looks like 12? Because he has those 4 posts, but he also demands, he insists, that you put another stick right in the middle of each side. Another 4. Makes a total of 8 that looks like 12. And the Gemara explained that Meir is not talking about if the gap is 10 amos or less, because he holds that's good enough. Between 10 and 13 and a third. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to add anything else. You still have to carry in that gap, in that the Pasi Berois, with the Pasi Berois. According to Meir, once it's beyond 10 amos, you need to put a post there as well. And the post is 1 amos wide. It says the Gemara, Abodi Yehudin Vabob Sutin. Meir explains, 4 corners and 4 in the middle, 4 posts in the middle. Goyven asar tvachim, they should be 10 tvachim high. V'roichvon shisha, they should be 6 tvachim wide. V'oivyim, how thick should they be? Kosher doesn't matter. U'beinayhen, and between there, kemole shtei, the vakash shalosh shalosh, broken the Meir holds, that if you have the gap, the maximum the gap can be is to be able to have 2 sets of 3 animals, 3 going in, 3 going out, that's a total of 6. Each animal is 1 2/3 amos wide, so 6 times 1 2/3 equals 10. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, shal arba kshuras arba. You can have 4, 4, which is 8. 8 times 1 2/3 is 13 and a third. And then he says, kshuras v'lo mutaris. But the animals should be tied together, not loose, so they're tied together, they're a bit tighter on the one hand. So it's but achas nichneses v'achas yetzes. And then he says, but on the other hand, you have a leniency, that you have 3 going in, 3 going out, so there's a little bit more space, a bit more room. You can bring those walls close proximity to the well, but what's the limit? You want that the animals, the majority of the animals should be inside by the well so they can drink, take the head out and drink there. Because if the majority of the animal is outside, then we're scared that the animal is going to take some water from the well and turn around and you're going to go follow it. You can take the pail with you and you'll be carrying it to the Shus Rabin. The shayis and drinks. On the other hand, how far away from the bear can you make these posts? Lahachik kosher, as much as you want. There's no cap. If you need, you know, we only allow the maximum a gap of 13 and a third according to Rabbi Yehuda, so you need to keep on adding posts to fill those gaps if it's wider than that. and what we need is that, and once it's wider than 13 and a third and you have to add more, you add another post in the middle, it's called pshutin, they're flat boards, but you have to have it within every 4 amos. So if it's, you know, 20 amos, you have to have like 2 posts, because 13 and a third only allows with the yomdin. Anything more than the 13 and a third amos, and you have to put an extra post, every 4 amos additional, you have to add another post. Okay, yeah. Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Meir, it was 10 amos. Rabbi Yehuda said there is a max, however. Ad beis sasayim. Rabbi Yehuda said the maximum is no more than 2 saw, which is 50 amos by 100 amos, learning from the Mishkan. Omru, they said to him, lo omru beis sasayim. He said, no, when do we have this cap? When do we have this maximum of 2 saw, ela legino lekarf? If you have a garden, remember we had before, if it's lo hukuf ledina, if you have a house, you can make the property as big as you want and enclose it. Could people living there, the Yadin. But if it's not a house, let's say it's a botanical garden, a lake, or some other thing that you have outside of your city, as Ashi says, then, or Karfif, then we say that the maximum you can enclose when nobody's going to live there is 2 saw. Anything greater than 2 saw, it looks like a carmelis. You're not allowed to carry there. Even though it has 4 walls, Midrabban. Avlimaya dir, but let's say that it was like a barn. But it really wasn't really a barn. It is where the Rashi says here is that in the field, there's a certain part of the field that you want the animals to fertilize, to hang around and fertilize. So you corner off a section of the field, that's a deer, and you want you corral your animals into that little section, so they should spend the day there. Meanwhile, they're fertilizing and eating. That's called a deer. Oy sayer. So again, this is not for living. Oy soyer, let's say in the city, you have like a little barn or something. Oy mukze, or we learned mukze means the backyard where people didn't really live there, do anything there. Oy chotzer, or a courtyard. Afilu beis chamisha kurim, there's no limit. All of these things are considered living. And because you're there constantly on a daily basis, then even the mukze, which is right behind your house, even though you don't have all your furniture and everything else, but you still live there, or a courtyard, then there's no max. I feel a base chamisha koyrin, I feel a base asara koyrin, even 5 koyrin, 150 saw, or 10 koyrin, 300 saw, mutr. It is permitted. Because these are called mukuf ladira. Mukuf ladira, there's no cap. So therefore, the pasi barayas, we're going to be so lenient. And because people live there on Shabbos, and they go there every single Shabbos, we're going to be relaxed. And therefore, we'll call it tashmish ladira, and there's no maximum. And it's very different than the case of the Shayara, which is a one-off thing. This is every week it was there. Plus, for Oyler Golem, we try to make it as easy as possible. Umutter lahachi koshuhu, that you're allowed to, on the other hand, bring it as close as you want. To the boir, ubavad shiyarbe bepasin. You can make it as far as you want, or as close as you want. And if you want to make it far, lahachi koshuhu, you can make it as far as you want, that we originally said, as long as you keep on adding those posts, to make sure that if the gap is wider than 13 or 3rd amas, you always have a post there every 4 amas, so that it's considered walled properly. And we're making these rules to make it easier for the people who oil the regal. Okay, we'll stop here. And we'll continue Mishnah tomorrow.
Shkoyach.